Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us. Hopefully, even though it was a holiday yesterday, hopefully you were able to join us yesterday on the program. We had a Labor Day edition for you, recapping IU football's victory coming out of the weekend over Ball State and catching up on other local topics as well. So thanks to everybody with us today. Hope if you missed yesterday, you can go back and catch it as a podcast. Don't forget that is always available as an option. And of course, big news today, if you've been tracking things online on social media, IU gets a verbal commitment last night. Didn't see that one coming. I thought that Indiana was probably in a pretty good place and ultimately might land Jordan Geronimo, who was on an official visit over the weekend on the Bloomington campus, but had no idea it would come right after the visit on Tuesday after he got home. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. Jordan Geronimo is a very intriguing player, someone that, again, I've said this many, many times on the program, not sure there's many players in the country that have seen his stock rise as Jordan Geronimo has over the last, 6 months or so, definitely over the last year. Last summer, he wasn't really even thought of as a Division I player, but he truly has grown. His game has truly expanded and gotten better, and he has some things that make you pretty confident that his best basketball in his career is still maybe way down the road. So interesting for Indiana to add somebody in the 2020 class. It's for IU's first commitment in the class outside of the state of Indiana after getting Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway earlier. Indiana now going out of state, and it's expected if they add one more, two, three more even potentially, if you listen to what Archie Miller said last week down at Evansville, that those players will likely come from out of state as well. When we closed the show yesterday, I saw not long after we were off the air that Jalen Bridges, who was on Indiana's list for sure and had Indiana on his list, I think maybe in his final five, that he committed to West Virginia. He's going to stay in his home state and attend WVU. And no big deal, not a real surprise. He would have been, I think, a nice get for Indiana, but I thought, oh, there's another 2020 player off the board. So getting Geronimo's commitment a few hours or later that evening after learning of Bridges' commitment is probably a really good thing from Indiana. The thing that I like the most, in addition to Jordan Geronimo's upside, and by the way, a plug here, on Friday's show, we had his coach, Max Gordon, from his prep school up east, and he was really good to talk with about Jordan, his game, what he's been working on, what he still has to work on, how he sees him fitting into a high major level conference of basketball. So you can go back on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcasts, and you can find that as well if you want to learn even more about Jordan and his game and where he's at right now with things. And this, of course, was before his commitment. In fact, it was as his visit was beginning on the campus at Indiana. But I think the thing that's most exciting about him, obviously the guy's really intelligent. And obviously if you've read some of his quotes, lots of stories out there about him committing to Indiana, he talks about basketball being big in Indiana. He talks about the visit and how people were trying to sneak pictures of him, and everybody wanted to come up and say, or did come up and say, is, you know, hey, are you Geronimo? Are you the recruit on campus? And that is something that if Indiana fans, obviously they're into it. They're some of the best fans in the country. The environment at Assembly Hall can be at times unbelievable, unbelievably loud as well. I've always said that. One of the biggest ways that Indiana fans probably help the program is on visits at football games around Bloomington, other places, letting recruits know. And that gives guys from way out of town, from way out of state, an idea, even just over the weekend, that obviously the facilities are the real deal. Obviously, there are some other things that make Indiana stand out to anybody who comes around the campus. But when you've got random fans coming up to you, sneaking your picture, wanting to know who you are, wanting to know if you're Jordan Geronimo, I think it really enhances the recruiting process. And it makes a player where he's coming from the East Coast. Yeah, he's played some big-time travel basketball. And, yeah, prep school basketball can be really good. He's at a smaller prep school, but it can be really good still. You don't get the fans like that. Most of these are boarding schools where the players live on campus. That was one of the things that Coach Gordon, his prep school coach, talked with us about. So, but he really seems to embrace how big basketball is in our state and the history of IU basketball and all the things that make Indiana important, even though Indiana hasn't made the NCAA tournament and hasn't been relevant in recent times at the very top of college basketball. So he also mentioned Romeo Langford was there for the visit, which, of course, we saw a picture Friday of Romeo signing the alumni wall, so figured that he was in town over the weekend. And again, that just is another example. I mean, you've got a high school player coming in, that especially one like Jordan that's a rising player, and he's got NBA guys or an NBA guy in Romeo Langford, in addition to the current IU guys around him, you know, I'm sure hanging out with him, taking him places, making him feel special, really good stuff. One other thing I wanted to mention at the top of the show about Geronimo's commitment last night, really interesting, and Alex Bozich has, it's just a simple chart, Indiana scholarship numbers. You can see this diagram, this chart, this table, whatever you want to call it, at InsideTheHall.com. When Archie Miller took over the program, he inherited a roster. There were five seniors on scholarship and only one junior on scholarship. Now, after some cycles that he and his staff have been in charge, you start to look at the breakdown by class, by freshman, by sophomore, by junior, by senior. And with Geronimo's commitment, things are almost even all the way across the board. Now, this class could expand. The 2020 class could expand because Archie Miller saying in Evansville it could be between four and six players. Right now, Indiana has Galloway, Lill, and now Geronimo. So there could be some expansion in this. But you look at the scholarship numbers for each year and what's available, and it's balanced. It doesn't have to be perfectly balanced. No one says that. But there's obviously some thinking that has went into this, to balancing things, to spreading things out so the cupboard isn't just all the way empty. Now, people can leave early. People can transfer. Those things can happen. And this thing can be out of whack and, you know, at the end of the season, no question about it. But it is interesting. This is the first time you can look at Indiana's scholarship breakdown and see. I think this gives you a grasp what Archie Miller is trying to do, is to create a very balanced class each year where he's got things spread out over the four different classes. It's never going to be perfect. It could always change. Again, kids transfer on a whim nowadays, and injuries and other things like that, you just never know how things will play out. But there obviously, if you look at things, is a big attempt to balance things out in the scholarship numbers, and that was one of the things under Tom Crean that I think drove a lot of people crazy. There would be five players in one class like there was in the senior class when Archie Miller took over, and you'd go to the very next class, an upper class, and there would be one. And that obviously can play crazy, you know, factors on things when you lose five seniors in one class and, of course, replace those five seniors with one guy that's been there for the full 4 years. So interesting to see the scholarship breakdown. Again, it looks awful even, looks awful pretty right now if you're trying to balance things out. May not stay that way specifically, but I think you've got to hand it to Archie Miller with recruiting. In-state, we know what he's done. He's done really good. Starting to go out of state, I think this 2020 class will tell us a little bit more about not just Archie Miller, but some of the assistants and what they're able to do in areas outside of Indiana and maybe even outside of the Midwest as well. But also, you can see an effort, I think, to balance things out. So kudos to him. I think he's really doing what he can and doing a good job on the recruiting front. Now we'll see with this upcoming season and a lot of unknown on the roster, some new additions to the roster, some players back that have showed flashes of potential greatness at times and being really good college basketball players. Can he coach these guys up in this next season and maybe find more success than what people early in the preseason months are predicting for Indiana? But big commitment from Jordan Geronimo. I think he's going to be a very fun player for IU fans to follow in his senior year. I think he's going to continue to get better. There are a lot of things about his game that are very intriguing. I've only seen video clips of some of his games from this past summer, but with his athleticism, with what he can do on defense, I think one of his, in fact, his coach described him as an elite defender. And that is something that with Indiana and in any level of college basketball that you embrace and you like and you want to see. So a big commitment for Indiana. I really, really think so. He's a guy that Indiana got on early as his recruiting really broke open and included a whole nother set of schools, included, you know, much bigger Division I schools than what he was hearing from. Indiana, again, kudos to the coaches, were one of the first in on him. And he liked what he saw enough, and his family liked what they saw enough at Indiana to go ahead and pull the trigger after the official visit. He was at Virginia. Now, it was an unofficial visit last weekend, but makes the commitment to Indiana last night. Also, his mother, I was reading in a story, and I can't remember who wrote this, but his mother played women's basketball at North Carolina at the same time that Michael Jordan was there, and that's the reason that she named Jordan Geronimo, first name Jordan. So an interesting sidebar. But obviously it's a family that knows the landscape of college basketball, even though back when she was playing, things were completely different. They have an understanding. And so a big commitment for IU, Jordan Geronimo, a name that we'll be talking a lot about, and again, will be fun to follow. We got a couple guys in Indiana that are pretty easy to follow that should have great years in the state of Indiana with their high school teams this year. And now Jordan Geronimo playing up east in prep school will be another name to follow. Also, I think it's worth noting, and if you didn't listen to the interview Friday with Max Gordon, who is the coach of Jordan Geronimo at his prep school, Mike Roberts, the newly hired assistant coach, even though he wasn't the lead recruiter on Geronimo, he came in late, made some calls to the prep school coach, Coach Gordon, and got involved in the process because Mike Roberts has a background playing prep school basketball and knows the ways of the New England basketball scene. So and the coach, Coach Gordon, was very complimentary of Mike Roberts and what he brings to the IU staff. If you haven't heard that, again, it's in our podcast from last Friday, from our show on Friday. That's a look at the Jordan Geronimo commitment. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham, segment one. We had some discussion on Geronimo. We'll talk a couple other things here in just a moment. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, he joins the show. With Greg, we'll talk more about Archie Miller's recruiting. We'll also talk season-opening college football. Purdue got off to a good first-half start on Friday night. I went to bed and found out they got beat. And Indiana, of course, on Saturday, a winner over Ball State. Really liked some things that QB Penix did, but it wasn't a all-around champion game for Indiana. So we'll talk about some of the local college football teams. Also, Greg's thoughts on Archie Miller's recruiting and the commitment of Jordan Geronimo. And then later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. And, of course, Mike is ace when it comes to recruiting information and knowing IU prospects. And we'll talk about Geronimo's decision, some IU football as well, and more with Mike Pegram. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham. That's the first segment. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. After this, it's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing and Greg, college football now underway. Some interesting happenings over the weekend. I'll start with IU first. It wasn't by any means a banner performance for the Hoosiers. There clearly are some things that have to be cleaned up, that have to improve for this team to find a bowl game and find success at the level that I know fans and, of course, the coaching staff hopes. But that said, one thing that did stand out to me, and I didn't even get a chance to watch all the game, but the bits and pieces that I saw, boy, I really like quarterback Michael Penix and the talent and the playmaking ability that he has. He really strikes me as someone that could be a game changer for Indiana football.
Yeah, he's not like anybody they've ever had before. They've had some guys in the pros, Sudfeld's in the pros. They've had some, Antoine Randle-El, of course, is a great college quarterback. But they've not had somebody with this kind of arm and these kind of feet. And that, you know, Randle-El had, I mean, he was a runner, but he wasn't this. Penix throws like a pro, but he's a really good runner. He's not a great runner. Somebody sitting next to me in the press box was saying, boy, he reminds me of Michael Vick. Yeah, I can think of one way he reminds you of Michael Vick. One. And we're not talking about that one way. But he's not Michael Vick. But he's really athletic and an exceptional, better passer. So, yeah, they've never had a guy like this. And they've got some serious talent on the perimeter. I mean, Hale and Freifogel and Phil Yor and Nick Westbrook. And then Stevie Scott, and then what's his name? Hendershot, a tight end. Holy cow. I mean, they've got some great skill pieces. The problem for IU, and they know this, is they couldn't run the ball against a mid-level MAC team. And if you can't run the ball against a mid-level MAC team, when your quarterback is throwing for almost 400 yards, you've got all these weapons on the perimeter, and you still can't open up the inside for the running game for Stevie Scott, what's going to happen when you play – never mind Ohio State. We know what's going to happen then. But what's going to happen when you play just, you know, Minnesota or whoever in the Big Ten is just kind of decent? They got to clean that up, yeah.
Talking to Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, obviously IU football is something we'll get back to. But I'm watching Purdue a lot closer than what I have because of Rondell Moore being a local boy, being from New Albany and having a connection with him. I went to bed Friday after a long night of high school football coverage here on the Big X. We went to the Purdue game in progress. I went to bed, I think it was just after halftime, with Purdue looking okay, looking in control of the game. I woke up checking scores on Saturday morning and recapping the night with Purdue falling 34-31 to Nevada. Were you at that game? And I'm curious your thoughts on Purdue football and what happened, especially in the second half.
No, I was not at that game, thank goodness. I was at the IU game the next day, but I was not at Purdue. I guess you probably know exactly where the game turned, and I hate to bring it up, but you know exactly what happened, right?
To an extent, maybe.
Rondell muffs a punt deep in Purdue territory. Yeah. Nevada scores, and the game's changed. And I hate that. You know, I hate that for Rondell. I hate that for Purdue. I just hate that. But that is what happened. But he's... Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and you want the ball in his hand. So things like that are going to happen. Not going to happen often, not to him, but they're going to happen. So that loss has, you know, it's the kind of – people are so angry. People are so ugly. You know, I can't write something about Purdue, for example, without IU fans saying whatever they want to say. Yeah, but, you know, how about you just sit this one out? How about you just shut up? And likewise, I can't write about IU without Purdue fans. Yeah, but, you know, so it goes both ways. Why don't you guys over there sit this one out and shut up? Am I allowed to tweet out about one of these schools without someone piling on about the other one? Like, get out of each other's head a little bit. But, of course, when Purdue loses that game, immediately it starts up. Purdue paid this much money for that coach? You know, that kind of thing. And I don't know if you saw it, but certainly south of the border, I was seeing that a lot from some Louisville people, too. Like, let's remember this game when we bemoan the fact that Louisville didn't get Brohm. Let's remember what just happened. Yeah, let's not. How about a guy can muff a punt every now and then. It's going to happen. And a team can lose a game like this every now and then. It's going to happen. There's a track record here. Rondell Moore has a track record that says he'll be a pro. And Jeff Brohm has a track record that says he can coach almost anywhere he wants to in America, and he chose to coach at Purdue. So everybody else, shut up.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing about both teams. And again, I even have, and I, again, I know we're an IU focused program, Southern Indiana sports focused program, but especially when you got a local guy, you want to follow the other team a little bit more, but I get the same criticism. If we mention Purdue, especially in a segment with you, and we're talking about Rondell, quit talking about Purdue. And again, we're more so interested in Rondell and local stuff and Big Ten stuff as a whole. But I guess you got to chalk it up to the rivalry. I guess it's a good thing. But now that we've talked about both teams, I'm curious, compare, contrast, and where you could see. And I know a lot will change. I know Indiana, some of the things that we look at, the lack of ability to run the ball, you hope that gets better somewhat. Defense, there's some other things that need to be cleaned up. You would think that naturally some of that is going to improve. To how much or what level, we'll have to see. But maybe, you know, now that we've seen them play, now that they've went through week one of college football, what you see is the ceilings for the two in-state teams in the Big Ten Conference, Indiana and Purdue.
Yeah, it's, as you know, that's a hard one to ask after one game. The thing is, Purdue has more really important, really good freshmen on the field than IU has. So in a sense, Purdue's ceiling is, I mean, they're obviously not going to go 0-12. So their upside's a lot better than what we saw the other day. But they've got a bunch of young players that are only going to get better, including, you know, Carl Aptis on the defensive line, a bunch of receivers. They got them all over the place, cornerback, safety. IU doesn't have that. However, the most important player on the field is a freshman who played a little bit last year, yes, but nothing like this. So IU is going to get better too. Now, on the other hand, Michael Penix just did something that only Antoine Randall has ever done in IU history. You know, a freshman making a starting debut. No one's ever had that many yards throwing or total offense. And I mean, it's hard to believe he's going to be a whole lot more effective than he was. Although he threw two picks, he can clean that up. But anyway, Purdue's going to get a lot better. IU should get better. I mean, they should. The question is the interior, really on both sides of the ball. They didn't tackle all that great either. Tom Allen thinks that and says they've been tackling better in camp, and I'm not really sure what that means. He said they've been catching the ball better in camp. And I tried to write this in my story and just didn't know how to write it without it looking like I'm wagging my finger at Tom Allen. I don't want to do that. But when he says that they caught the ball better in practice than they've been catching, than they caught the other night, Michael Penix throws the ball harder than everybody else. And yes, he was at practice. He was throwing balls in practice, but the quarterbacks were also catching balls from Tuttle and Ramsey. And so that those are easier balls to catch. They were all catching just Penix the other night, and they had five or six drops, and all but one of them were because Michael just threw the ball so damn hard they couldn't catch it. So you didn't catch that well, yeah, but you weren't catching 100% Penix balls this preseason. So anyway, IU will get better. They're both going to get better. The question is, who's better right now? Who would beat who right now? I'm going to sit that one out.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Let's talk some basketball. IU gets a commitment in the 2020 class last night from an out-of-state player in Jordan Geronimo. And, of course, when somebody like Anthony Leal commits or Trey Galloway that are in the state or in a reasonable distance from the state, you know, you've got a lot more knowledge and you can picture in their head what you've seen them done, playing in state championship games and along the recruiting trail, some of the big AAU things, you know, tournaments, and you've seen them play and you hear a lot about them. Geronimo is a new face, not just to IU fans after he commits, but really new to being recruited at this level of college basketball, thanks in part to his body and his skills and the work that he's put in and just some natural progression he's had with the game. That said, even though I don't know a lot about him, even though the extent that I've seen him play has been highlight videos and some pieces of AAU games from this past summer, boy, he is an intriguing prospect, both with what he looks like as a player and the skills that he possesses as a player, but even more so reading some of the stuff last night and this morning after he commits. You can tell he is an intelligent young man that comes from a family that gets it, and he was really swept off his feet by basketball crazy Bloomington and Indiana this weekend during his visit.
Yeah, and he's a it's interesting that he's the highest rated recruit. He's higher rated than Galloway and Leal, and I didn't realize how low, and low is a relative term, but I didn't realize how low those guys were kind of rated. Zach Osman had a story the other day about how, or maybe Kyle Nedner had one about where the state prospects are ranked, and I was surprised that Leal was like 140 or something in some things, and Galloway wasn't a whole lot better in some things, and I just didn't realize that, and think that those might be some mistakes, but we'll find out. Meanwhile, Geronimo's 85, I believe, in Rivals or somewhere, so he's a top 100 guy. a guy like Geronimo can go two ways. I mean, he's a work of art. You can interpret it right now any way you want to, and I've seen it go both ways. A couple of years ago, IU signed a kid that was kind of came out of nowhere, big body and long, and just his recruitment really took off late. And I don't know where Clifton Moore is right now, but he's not at IU. But for a year or two before that, they signed a guy that came on strong late. No one knew much about him, but IU got him. And, you know, Crean actually didn't look like he knew what he was doing when he got this kid. And OG Anunoby is in the NBA right now. So you just don't know where Geronimo is going to go. You don't know if the analysts, because it's a projection, you don't know if he's come a long way fast. Obviously, he's done that. And if he's kind of done, like when I covered North Carolina for the Charlotte Observer back in the day, they signed a kid named Jack Emanuel. Physically, is just like Jordan Geronimo. That's all they have in common physically. I haven't seen Geronimo play. I have no idea. But 6'6", long, 7-foot reach, can shoot a little bit, came out of nowhere. UNC signed him, and he never panned out. But again, there's guys like Oladipo kind of come out of nowhere, and look where Oladipo is. So we will have to see what Geronimo becomes. But there, if you're an IU fan listening, there's a reason to think, oh, my gosh, we got another steal. And if you're a Purdue fan that wants to crap on it, you can say, oh, my gosh, you got another – you know, Clifton Moore or Jack Emanuel or whatever. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a work of art.
Clifton Moore, by the way, transferred to Temple. I had to check that. I thought that was the case, but couldn't remember. But Temple is the new destination for Clifton Moore.
I did too, and I thought that was a little bit more dramatic for me to say. And I don't know where Clifton Moore is right now. I thought that was a little more dramatic. I knew he was at Temple, but a little artistic license there.
Understand. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. We talk a lot about Archie Miller. We talk a lot about his recruiting because that really has been the area where he's been ultra successful since he's been at Indiana. And that's some of the comments he made from the very moment that he was hired in his opening press conference about what he was going to do to recruit the state and how he was going to recruit the state and beyond. I think that, and we've talked about this, you've got to give him a great score, a great grade when it comes to recruiting the state, keeping Romeo Langford, keeping Trace Jackson Davis, the key signature type players in the state, with the one exception would be Keon Brooks, of a player that they recruited for a long time but did not end up landing. Then you got to give him credit for filling in around Romeo and Trace with Robert Fennessy and Armand Franklin and others that, you know, are players that would they have went to Indiana under another coach? Possibly. Did having a signature highlighted player in their class to lead things and to recruit them as well help? Very likely that's the case. I think the next challenge for everybody to see what happens with Archie Miller's recruiting abilities, and we know he's got some, are out-of-state players like Jordan Geronimo. Does he have the eye to land somebody that just has become really a major Division I recruit that turns into being an NBA player or a good four-year Big Ten player? Does he have the connections to bring in some players in this 2020 class where there are still two or even three openings possibly for players, and really there isn't anyone that stands out in Indiana that's a surefire Indiana needs to get them next that could play at that level? So I think seeing what Archie and the staff that he's built, and of course now Mike Roberts included in that staff, he's got connections multiple places, including in prep school basketball in New England. I think seeing how they recruit out of the state, seeing how they bring in some players to mix in with Indiana and Midwestern guys is kind of the next maybe challenge for the staff from a recruiting perspective.
Yeah, well, we need to see. Like, we know he can get really good players to sign the dotted line. We know that. He's gonna keep reminding us of that every year. With this one specifically, we're going to see how do you project. You can miss or be wrong on or just not quite nail, like Demezi Anderson, if he never pans out, and I'm not saying you won't, but just to use a name. When you sign in, or Leo and Galloway, when you sign state kids, yeah, they need to pan out, but you signed a state kid, and that's important for a lot of reasons. And if you don't pan out, okay, but you know you got who you needed to get. You put a fence around the state, and you got him. But if you're going to go out of the state, and you got 49 states to look at, and you're going to settle on this guy, Geronimo, you better be right. You know, and I feel like the margin for error, and I don't mean to put pressure on Geronimo, it's more on Archie and his staff, and I don't say that in an accusatory way. I'm just kind of what you're saying is he needs to show that not only can he get great players, but that he can analyze what he's seeing. And Crean wasn't perfect. You know, he's the one that brought in Clifton Moore. And, I mean, he really liked to dabble around the edges, and he liked to go for the upside. And when you swing and miss and you get that kid that was Sasha Stefanovic's high school teammate, remember him? 6'5 shooting guard that had one great AAU game. Green saw it.
Grant Galen, who just
Galen.
We just had he just he's going to Bethel now. It's like his third or fourth college home so far.
Yeah, so Crean likes to do that, and every now and then Grant Galen becomes Grant Galen. Every now and then Vic Oladipo becomes Vic Oladipo. So you're not going to be perfect at it by any means. So, and Geronimo is not all or nothing for Archie. If Geronimo's a hit, Archie's great. If Geronimo's not a hit, Archie stinks. It's not bad either, but this will be a demonstration of his not just recruiting skills, but his analyzing skills.
Yeah, I agree. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thanks for the time today. Always great to catch up. We're in a great time of year. High school football, college basketball is not far off. Going to have some fun conversations over the next few months, and always appreciate hearing from you on Tuesday.
I want an apology to anybody that when I said shut up, it was applying to you. because I raised my kids like shut up is almost a dirty word. You just, it's not acceptable. You don't say that. You don't say a couple things, and you don't say shut up. So I apologize for that.
No problem.
And for saying it like five times is even worse.
Greg, thank you very much. Always great to catch up.
Thanks.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Segment always presented by Coffee Crossing. That will wrap up this segment. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Even more on Jordan Geronimo, new IU commit, and, of course, some IU football as well as the Hoosiers gear up for Week 2, another opponent they should not only beat, but you would like to see them handle a little bit before they get into Big Ten Conference play. So we'll talk Geronimo, we'll talk football and the Week 2 matchup, and a lot more coming up next with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us, as always, on Tuesdays. Lots to get to. IU basketball with a commitment. It's third in the 2020 class from Jordan Geronimo yesterday, last evening to be exact, and IU football gearing up for a Week 2 game. Mike, you guys have had all sorts of coverage, both pre-commitment and post-commitment from Geronimo, who, to say the least, and I know we've covered his rise through the high school basketball system, the grassroots system, all the interest he now has from high Division I schools, but he truly is a unique player as far as how he's seen his stock rise and the scholarship offers and the schools that have become interested in him just over the last 2 to 3 months. It's really not something you see every day, and you're around this stuff as much as anybody. He really has a unique story behind him in his recruiting and his development.
Yeah, he made some real leaps even from 2 or 3 months ago. Doesn't have a lot of competition in high school and you know, is forced to, you know, play a little bit different role than he was able to show in AAU. And over the course of that off season, he kind of developed into that more perimeter role and really began to show some things in July with his outside jumper. He's always been a really good athlete, has nice height, 6'6", can play probably small forward, but could play some big guard if he continues to develop his shot and his handle. Just a, you know, the kind of guy you want, because he's on a, he's getting better month by month, and he's no, you just don't know when that improvement's going to stop, and it might not stop for a while, and you end up with somebody who's much better than anybody ranked ahead of him. Oh, most everybody ranked ahead of him.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We're talking about Jordan Geronimo's commitment last night to Indiana. He sounds like a player that has really discovered himself as far as what his abilities could be down the road, and obviously has the work ethic to get where he to the best level he possibly can be, which I think should be encouraging to fans that he's, you know, committed to be an Indiana Hoosier. That said, is there a role you see him playing? And I know it's always hard to project somebody that's beginning their senior year to the Big Ten Conference over a year from now, because there's so much that happens between now, the arrival on campus, the off-season stuff that goes on in the summer months and in the fall months as well. But is he, I guess the question, is he somebody that can play that can come in and expect playing time as a freshman? Or even though he's improving and getting better each and every day, is he somebody that might not have his best basketball as far as at the Big Ten level and the opportunity to play until a year or so into his career?
He might need a little bit of time, and the small forward position could be well stocked when he gets into Bloomington with Justin Smith and, you know, possibly Jerome Hunter if he recovers, and or big guard options that you can play there too. But he's got a lot of defensive potential, Matt, and that often gives somebody an opportunity to play early, just because you go in there and you know he's not going to give up a couple quick baskets to the other team's wing. Therefore, I would think that wouldn't expect him to come in and start or anything like that, but I think he could carve out a role because he's already got all the potential to guard people and has that kind of the Big Ten kind of athleticism that you really like.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com talking about Jordan Geronimo. A couple sidebar things to his recruitment, his visit over the weekend, and ultimately his commitment. Very interesting that Romeo Langford was on campus. We saw him sign a photo of him signing the IU alumni wall or board that they now have on Friday when he arrived at campus. Don't know the particulars of his visit, what all he's up to, how long he's going to be there. But one of the things Geronimo said to you guys is that he really thought it was cool Romeo Langford was there, and that would have to be probably a standard answer from any player that is an IU recruit, whether they end up committing to Indiana or not, that's on campus and gets to hang out with a guy that just was an NBA lottery pick. Romeo already is helping this IU program, whether it's on social media, whether it's on campus with a recruit while he happens to be in town. And when you hear Archie Miller speak last week about the impact that Romeo could be, I think he called him a spokesman for the program and for the entire state. That's big stuff that he's already finding ways to contribute back to IU's success in recruiting in other ways right now.
Right. He's a Hoosier, a state guy, and he also is, roughly the same size as Jordan Geronimo. So he's a player that Jordan Geronimo has to look to emulate and watch what he does in the film and so forth over this, next year. And what he did in the offense at Indiana, just a lot of things there that he probably helped, in a small way, push Jordan over the top.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, Jordan Geronimo's commitment to Indiana. And this is more of a general recruiting question, but I've seen others say this as well. If you take a look at the scholarship numbers right now, and I know you can trace it back to when Archie Miller took over the program, I think there were 5 seniors on scholarship, but just 1 junior on scholarship at that time. As you look at the grid now and you look from season to season over the next number of years, things are much more balanced. And I know they may not always stay as balanced as what they are because Indiana could still add some players in this class, which I think is very likely that 1, 2, or even 3, as we heard Archie Miller mention, 4 to 6 total last week when he was in Evansville for the 2020 class. But transfers and other things, it makes the game a lot more fluid, rosters a lot more fluid maybe than what they ever have been. However, don't you get the sense that there really is an attempt here through the recruiting process to have some balance from year to year with the number of scholarships that are out and the number of scholarships that are available, which is something that we did not always see much at all, I don't think, under Tom Crean?
Yeah, I think there's 3 guys in the classes above this 2020 group, and that's an ideal kind of number. 3 to 4 in every class will get you to that 13 and not imbalance situations where you have to play without a senior 1 year or you have a whole bunch in one class and you have to rebuild suddenly. It really is kind of an even situation, about as even on classes in terms of numbers on average versus what I've seen from Indiana in the last decade or so.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us. Talk a little football before we let you go. IU gets a win, 34-24 over Ball State Saturday. Now Eastern Illinois is up next. We've talked a lot about the Ball State game and the number of things Indiana has to work on, and some good things that came out of Saturday's game at Lucas Oil Stadium as well. Your thoughts on Eastern Illinois? Do you know much about them at this point? Are they on the level of Ball State? Are they better? Are they not as good? What type of opponent do you see in week two that Eastern Illinois will be for Indiana?
Well, I don't think they're as good as Ball State. But they're not horrible or anything, such that you can't go in there and turn the ball over a lot and, you know, and still expect to come out with a big victory or win by a significant margin. They Indiana should, though, have that traditional game one to game two improvement. And you know, I really think that Michael Penix will play better. He had a lot. He's never started before, and it was the first start, a kind of unusual atmosphere. And he should be much better. I think the running game can be much better. I think it's just important for him to show some improvement, like I said, in that running game, and also maybe get to the quarterback a little bit better. Because, you know, Ohio State awaits the next week.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about wanting to see improvement and get ready for a much bigger opponent, Ohio State coming to Bloomington that following week on September 14th. That's when you want to have at least the early season things figured out, the things you can fix quickly, or maybe that, as you mentioned, a different environment over the weekend at Lucas Oil from playing in Bloomington, definitely, and even from a college game typically on the road. So Indiana, sometime, but not a lot, with Ohio State coming down the pipe very soon.
Yeah, we'll learn quickly. As you know, that's one good thing about playing Ohio, a really good team in the third game of the season as opposed to the fourth or fifth, is that you figure out exactly what you can do and can't do, and whether they win or not that game, they'll apply that to the following Big Ten games.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike is with us on Tuesday. Some talk on Jordan Geronimo, who committed to IU last night, IU football, as well as they get ready for week two, a game at home against Eastern Illinois, 3:30 kickoff on Saturday in Bloomington. Mike, thanks for the chat. Always great to catch up, especially when we have a commitment or some sort of breaking news like the Geronimo commitment. It's good to know you'll be with us, and thanks for the insight today.
All right, we'll catch you next Tuesday. Take care.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up and tell you about some other things for later this week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment. As we wrap things up on this Tuesday program, big week coming up for high school football. New Albany at Jeffersonville. That's going to be our Southern Indiana game of the week on Friday. Here's another good game, Silver Creek at Providence tonight. Those are schools that can be considered rivals, although that football series obviously is something fairly new with Silver Creek returning at the varsity level a number of years ago now. But two interesting games involving our local teams here in Clark and Floyd counties that we'll be following very closely. As far as the Big X goes, that's where we'll be at. New Albany at Jeffersonville, Silver Creek at Providence. We'll rotate back and forth between those two games, try to bring you as many of the big plays and scoring drives as possible. And, of course, we'll have scores and updates from other games and a constant scoreboard for area games as well on Friday night. It all gets started at 6 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. Other games this week, Vincennes Lincoln at Floyd Central. That's a new game on the schedule for the Highlanders. Clarksville coming off a win last Friday. They play at Charlestown, who is still looking for their first win after losses to Silver Creek and Brownstown. A very, very tough way to open the season for the Pirates. And also Rock Creek, they play down in Lexington at Lexington Sayre on Friday night. That's week three as we move through the season. Also, a reminder, if you did not listen to our Labor Day program on Monday, we name a Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week each Monday on the show. A lot of times it'll be a football player this time of year, but we do pay attention to all high school sports and performances in the area. Floyd Central Football Junior, Winker's right. He had 352 yards rushing, four touchdowns on Friday night as Floyd Central beat Providence 28-7. His performance of four touchdowns was highlighted by touchdown runs of 97 yards and also 80 yards. He had some big, big runs for the Highlanders. And Winker's right, a junior at Floyd Central. He's this week's Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Congratulations to him. Keandre Winford of New Albany, the winner in week one. Week two, Winker's right of Floyd Central. Who will be the winner in week three? We make that announcement each Monday on the show. Then throughout the week, you'll hear some promos that run, highlighting the athlete and congratulating them on their performance and including some of those details. But congratulations to Winker's right for week two. He's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Back with you Wednesday, we've got Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, also Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, the sports editor, to talk local sports headlines. We'll do all of that tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. Don't forget, if you miss a show, like our Monday show, a lot of you may have not known we were on the air with the holiday, you can find it at SoundCloud or on Apple Podcasts. For SoundCloud, just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And for Apple Podcasts, just type in search bar the Hoosier Report and you can find us there. Have a great Tuesday. Hope that things are easing back in after a long weekend for you, but it should be easier now that we have college football and some sports and other things to follow. Of course, professional football officially gets underway soon as well. We'll have the full gamut going in football here very soon. Have a great Tuesday. I'll be back with you at 11 o'clock tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio.